Okay, boys, we begin a brand new parak. Today's daf is daf Samach Vav, and we're starting on Samach Hey Omid Beis at the new Mishnah, new parak. Zuk the Mishnah. Metziyo Seisha, Umas Yodeha, Lebala. Husband and wife get married. He is entitled to her Metziyois if she finds a Metziyo. Umas Yodeha, if she works, then that income goes to her husband. Virushasa. Rashi has two pshatim in Yerushasa. The Pasha Pshat Rashi learns is Virushasa if she received a Yerusha during the time period that they were married. We call that Nechsimaluk. Nechsimaluk, of course, can be brought in from prior to the marriage. Here we're talking about that once they were married, for instance, her grandfather passed away, left over Yerusha, she has that Yerusha now. That Yerusha belongs to her. However, who? The husband eats peiros as long as she is alive, meaning that although he doesn't get the keren, the actual assets belong to her, but he gets all of the income stream throughout her lifetime. Yes, you have a question.
I'm sorry, no, it's like she keeps a tree, he eats the apples off the tree.
Correct, and it doesn't have to be necessarily a tree, it could also be a commercial or a residential building where the building belongs to her, however all the rents but the net income accrues to him, to the husband, but that's b'chayah as long as she's alive. If and when she predeceases him, then he takes over the entire Yerusha because he yashes from his wife. On the other hand, if he predeceases her, then she gets back that income stream because after all the neches, the property belongs to her.
Yes, what's happening if he is a greedy guy?
And therefore, what's going to happen?
He puts a little poison in the food.
Poison in the food? That's not a smart idea.
He doesn't over the original. While the income is given off during her lifetime, mm-hmm. he consumes it and he doesn't owe it to her. It's his entirely, correct? There's no liability afterward.
He does not have to return it afterwards.
Thank you.
No problem. No. And the Mishnah continues. Boishta upegoma shula. Boishta upegoma means that if chas v'shalom someone goes and causes damage to her personally, either he's mevayish her, he embarrasses her, or pegam if chas v'shalom he hits her and therefore she now has a wound of some sort. All of that money that is now paid, if afterwards they take that perpetrator to Bezin, he has to pay for that boishes of Begam, it belongs to her. However, if you remember Seir Omer, Bizman Shebeseser Lo Shnei Chalokim V'loi Echad, Bizman Shegoloi Lo Shnei Chalokim V'loi Echad. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, the Gemara is going to tell us if Yudim Bemeseira holds that the husband and wife are like one individual, one guf. And therefore, if Chas v'Shalom, somebody does something bad to her, then he feels the pain as well. And therefore, he shares in the boishes of Begam. If it's a Shebeseser, we'll see what that means in a moment, then Lo Shnei Chalokim, she gets 2/3 of the damages of the boishes of Begam. V'loi Echan, he gets 1/3. V'zman Shebegoli, if it's out in the open, Lo Shnei Chalokim, he gets 2/3. V'lo Echad, and she gets 1/3. Now, what's the difference between Seser and Goloi? What are we referring to? So the Baram Tosis tells us that the measure of Seser and Goloi depends if you're talking about Boishes or you're talking about Pegah. From our Rashi is fairly silent. One could learn that the Boishes of Pegah is talking about one incident. That one incident, for instance, you have a man, a stranger, who comes and Nebuch gives her a zetz, that means a big patch, and damages her. So now if that damage, for instance, causes a scar on her body, which is beseser, which is covered over, the only one therefore that would see it would be her husband. So it pains him that his wife has that scar. So, says our Mishnah, what happens in such a case? Bizman shebeseser, lo shnei chalokim, she suffers more than he does, so she gets 2 parts, and he gets 1 part. Bizman shebegoli, what happens if the person gave her a patch across the face, and she needed stitches, and now there's a permanent scar that goes from one cheek to the other, and she looks unfortunately ugly. So, of course, she suffers, but the husband suffers as well. And therefore, says our Mishnah, bizman shebegoli, lo shnei chalokim v'lo echad. That's how Rashi seems to learn that the boishes of pagam is really one incident, and we're talking about both the pagam, that is the physical manifestation of what happened, that he caused her now to be worth less as a result of that pagam, as well as the boishes, the busha, the way she looks, the way she appears. Toises, however, learns that these are two separate events. If you look at the last Toises, is man shebeseser. Pigam shebeseser is b'mokim she'ein b'nei odom yecholim liarais. If someone, chas v'sholom, hit her in a place where there's a permanent scar, nobody else is able to see it, that's beseser, that's the pigam, the blemish that he has caused to her. Shebegoloi shepotzeh b'fneh b'ponim, that he gave her a patch b'fneha, in her face, the mokim shenir lekol, and everybody sees it, and therefore the nifkam hu atzmo ima, and therefore he suffers from that ugliness, from that scar that has occurred, and therefore that's why he also shares in the remuneration. One second, yeah. That is the pegam. Bush is a totally different inyan. Boishes shebeseiser shebay shebeinoy lebeino. You have this perpetrator that came and started screaming at her and said, but the only people that were present were him and her, the perpetrator and her, or maybe the husband was there as well. And so therefore this was not something that became public. It didn't become viral. It didn't go on the internet and 10 million people that have nothing else to do watch it throughout the whole world. That's b'seiser. Shebegolui shebayishbefnei kolodom. In the middle of a crowd, there are 100 people standing there, and he started screaming at her. So that's the difference between goli and seiser. So that goli and seiser, of course, is totally different than the goli and seiser of the begam, where the begam means nobody else can see it except for the husband if it's b'seiser. It's underneath her clothing, on her belly, for instance, on her leg. Nobody else can see it. Only the husband can go and see it. That's the seiser and the goli. Goli is in the face. Well, the boishes is, if he did it in an enclosed area, the only two or three people, that's obviously a much more modest form of busha than if he's mavayisher in front of a crowd of 5 or 10 or 20 or 100 people. That's the seiser and the goli. Ariel, you had a question. Well, the question has been resolved.
Would the pigam, the goli, the husband suffers to the tune of getting twice as much as she does?
If she doesn't look in the mirror, she doesn't see it. Every time he looks at her.
But she knows that she has it, and she knows that in public people are going to notice, don't you think?
I agree with you. I agree with you. But that's what Abiyud ben Beseder says, that he suffers and he gets two things. It doesn't have to be that he has more of an emotional suffering or anything. It's just that her income belongs to him typically. So what the Gemara is telling us is that in, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, in this aspect she is getting the income for the damage based on the terrible scar that was left by that perpetrator. So she of course gets part of it because it happens to her guf, but it happened to his guf because they're considered to be one entity, and he gets more. Just like, why does he get the entire metziah? Why doesn't she get half of the Metziah, quarter of the Metziah, third of the Metziah, all of the Metziah? So, these are the rules and regulations regarding husbands and wives. Sorry? Let's see. No, nothing happened. The reason why you feel that way is because we'll see Mitzvah and the Gemara, that in fact that there's a machloikis in the Braisa, and you obviously remember that machloikis, and you're shocked that the Mishnah just said Metziah so Yishul Baal. There's another Choshev Amad Yomar, which we will come across momentarily.
And can you explain how Tosus learns out that these are two separate incidents? I don't understand what Tosus was telling us.
Boshes, of course, means busha, right. Shame, humiliation. Pegama means pegam. Pegam could be a synonym for busha, but here it's not intended to be a synonym, it's intended to be a different measure. What's a different measure? Pegam here is referring to permanent damage to the person. How do you measure that? For instance, Chas v'Shalom, we're going to learn in Masechtas Bava Kama, what happens if one man hits another man and causes that person, therefore, to become nebuch lame. He loses an arm. He has a broken arm. He has a broken nose. Whatever it happens to be. How do you measure the damages? So the Gemara says that there are five measures of damages. You have Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boishes. Nezek, Tzar, Ripui, Shebes, and Boishes. Thank you very much. Nezek is the amount that damage. How do you measure damages? So Mitchum, we get to Bava Kama, it's similar to what we're talking about over here. That's the Pagam. And that is, if this individual now has become, he lost a leg, he lost an arm, he has a permanent black and blue mark, or whatever it happens to be, you go to the Shuk Shel Avodim and you ask potential purchasers, how much is this person worth when he was total, and how much is he worth now as a result of this blemish? And if they say, no, it's immaterial, then the amount of Nezek is immaterial. If, however, if they say, oh, big difference, until now he was worth $50,000 in Eved, but now he has a broken leg, he has a broken nose, he has broken toes, whatever it happens to be, he's worth now $3,000 less, $10,000 less. As a result, that's the amount of the Nezek, and that's how Rashi is learning Pshat, not the Rashi. Now, Tois is learning Pshat into Vigam. Vigam means the Nezek, the actual physical damage. The Boishas is the Busha that this person now is walking around with a broken leg, with a broken arm, whatever it happens to be, that's the Busha. Tois's level of is learning that the Busha is talking about something else, that someone never humiliated her.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Explain them, please, the difference. It's a sarcom, but Nezek and Pagam, then.
For our purposes, they are synonymous. Our Mishnah doesn't use the term Nezek, he uses the term Pagam. The reason why he probably uses Pagam, because this is borrowed from Masechtas Yevamos, where there we spoke about, in addition to the Kenas, that a person has to go and give, if he's Ma'anis and Isha, he also has to pay for the Boishas and the Pagam. So therefore, it's a borrowed term. But in fact, this Boish is the same Busha, the Gam is the same as the Nezik. What you're probably now thinking is, why does the Mishnah also talk about the Tzar, Ripui, and Shevet? So the Rishonim and the Poiskim talk about it. What do they say about it? They say Tzar belongs to her, because she had the physical pain of the person Nebuch hurting her and the perpetrator damaging her. So she gets the full Tzar. What about the Ripui? We already said earlier in our Masech that the Refuah happens to be a subset of Mezoinus. And just like he has to give Mezoinus, he has to go and give Refuah. So any Ripui that he gets from the perpetrator that he pays, then that goes to the husband, because that's just compensating the husband for the amount that he already paid out for her Ripui. Obviously, if she didn't pay the bills yet, then it'll go directly to the doctor, to the hospital, whatever. But if it's already been paid by the husband, then he gets that remuneration. As far as the Shevis means disability, that she's not able to work, that he certainly gets, because he gets the Masi Yadayim, so the inability to produce Masi Yadayim that would come to him. Okay? Now, continuing the Mishnah. Shaloi Yenosim Yad, Vishaloi Yuklup Ben Karkav, Hu Oichel Peiris. When it comes to this Boishas of Begam, Shaloi, that portion that goes to him, according to Tanakama, that doesn't apply at all. Tanakama says, Boishas of Begam and Shaloi, it all belongs to her. According to Pidum and Meseder, that you do an allocation between husband and wife, Shaloi, the amount that is paid to him in Boishas of Begam goes miyad directly to him, and therefore he can put it in his bank account, he can invest it, he can do whatever he wants with it. The Shaloi, that part that goes to her, becomes like the Arusha that comes from out of space, not on the radar screen, that she gets part of her Nechsi Malug, those are her assets. So that cash, Yiklof ben Karka, go and buy a piece of property, V'oichel Peiris, and again the husband gets the benefit of the Peiris, like we had by the Yerusha, who Oichel Peiris B'chayel, again he'll be Oichel Peiris, she'll have the Keren of that amount that was paid for the Boishas of Begam, and he will get the Peiris. Zokimar, we started off the Mishnah with the Metzias, Ho'isha Umasi Adel, and the Yerusha go Labala, the Peiris of the Yerusha. Freitimar Maikamash Mulan. Tanina, we had that already in the previous parak. Which daf did we have that on? We had that back on daf Mem Vov Amid Beis, when the Mishnah started off. Ho'av zakoi bebitoi bekidusheha bekesef bishtar ubebia. Number one, a father is entitled and authorized to accept the kesef in shtar on behalf of his daughter, if she is a ketana or a nara. Vis-a-vis the bia means that he can go and submit her to a potential chosen for bia, for getting married. He's also zakoy b'mtziyasa, oh, that's the key for our Gemara. The father receives the mitziyah of the daughter. U'b'masi yadeh, and if she has income, he receives that income. U'b'faris and dereh, he's allowed to be made for her nedarim. Mikabalas gitiv chas v'shon, the marriage doesn't work out, he can go and accept her get on her behalf. V'eina oichel peiris b'chayah. However, if she has nechosim that she got from the outside, like from her grandfather, and was from her grandfather, not from his father, no, that's a maternal grandfather. So she received Karen. Then it all belongs to her, both the Karen and the Peiris. However, this is, now if she gets married, yes, the Baal has all of the foregoing rights that we spoke about, zakoy b'mitziyasa, b'maasi yodeh, hafaris nidoreha, and as well, he's even oichel peiros b'chayeha. Yes, or alav abal, she oichel peiros b'chayeha. So what do I see from our Mishnah back on Daf Nun Ches, Nun Vav, that the husband gets all of those preceding rights, the mitzia, masi yodayim, and he's even oichel peiros b'chayeha, which is even more than the father. So that's the same as our Mishnah. How do we start off a Mishnah? Mitzia seisha, masi yodayim lebala, and you should also oichel peiros b'chayeha. So why are we repeating ourselves? That's Plukta Behuda Ben Besaver Rabbanan. This halacha Boishta Begam did not appear back on that Mishnah, back on Daf Mem Vav, and that's why we have it over here in our Mishnah to go and tell us that there's a machloikis Tanakam even a Besaver. So the first line of our Mishnah is really just repetition. It's an introduction to the din of Boishta Begam. Baitim, we have a Braisa now. Tani Tana Kamei Derova Metzia Seisha Liatzma. Obviously, this Tana, the Tana who's reading in front of Rava, we don't mean a Tana, we mean an Amoira who's reading off a Braisa to Rava, and he's saying to Rava, you know what it says in the Braisa? That the Tana Kama holds Metzia Seisha Liatzma, and the Tzia belongs to her. Which is what we heard from our distinguished guest from Yerushalayim, formerly from Tzvas, one of the leaders of the Breslov Chassidim in Eretz Yisrael, who just told us a moment ago that the Metzia belongs to her, and I like this Tana Kama. Rabbi Kiva, whoever disagrees, Rabbi Kiva, I'm the Bala, and Rabbi Kiva, therefore, is the Tana of our Mishnah in that halacha. We'll see in a moment that things are going to shift, but this is what the Braisa says at the moment. And now, Rava asks this person who is saying the Braisa, Amalei, he says it doesn't sound right. Hashda umma ha'adofa de masi yodea hi omer v'kiva le'atzma mitziyasa le'koshkein marach in the case of hadofa. Hadofa means what we've called in the past moiser masi yodea, that she has the basic masi yodea that she provides to her husband of the five shkolim shesi b'Yehuda, which is the 10 sloim of shesi in Galil, and it's double that amount for the Erev, like we learned yesterday. So the Masi Yadayim belongs to him. What about if she's able to go and do better than just five Siloim of Shesi Yehuda? She's very tichting. Tichting means she's very talented and creative. And she's very quick. And she's able to go and produce six Siloim of Shesi, or more. So now, Mistaval Pisvara logically would say that since the Masi Yadayim belong to the husband, presumably that extra would also belong to the husband. At least there's a logical svara to say, no, he's providing her with mezainis, she's giving Masi Yadayim. If she's very talented and she's able to go and produce even more, that should also go to the husband. So I might have thought. Nevertheless, Omer Bekiva Liatzma, it doesn't go to the husband, it goes to her. Mitziyasa, where there's no shaykhis to the husband at all. After all, the husband doesn't get a half a mitziah or a quarter of a mitziah. So therefore, said more like Kolshkein, shouldn't I certainly say that that goes li'atzma? So why would we say in the first braisa that Rabbi Kiva says that the mitziah is lebala, madach the case of hadofa, Rabbi Kiva says goes li'atzma, even though there's a good logical reason to say it should go to the husband, then certainly the mitziah should go li'atzma. Now, where did we find that by Hadofa that Rabbi Kiva says that it goes li'atzma? Did not we learn in the Mishnah? This is a Mishnah which we quoted already earlier on in our Masechta, back on Daf Nuntes, about a week ago. Vushteid on the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Nedarim that koinim sheni uis laficha ein etzarech lehofer. Rabbi Kiva oimer yafer shem etadif olav yoisim in a roilai. What does it say over here? You have a wife that made a koinim. Koinim means that she makes a neder, and the neder is shani uisa leficha. I don't want to produce anything for you, and I don't want you to have any hanoah from me. So I'm going to go and continue working, but I don't want you to have any hanoah. And she makes such a neder against her husband not to have hanoah from her masi yadai. Says the Tanakama, in a tzarech lehofer. He has the right to be mefer, but he doesn't even have to bother because it doesn't belong to her. The Masi Yadayim that she produces belongs to him. So she cannot aser on him something that belongs to him. It's his. It doesn't belong to her. So says the Tanakama, this is a meaningless neder. You don't even have to be mefer. Rabbi Kiva says, no, Yofer, we should be mefer. The husband should be mefer. maybe she's going to do hadafa, meaning she's not going to do just the minimum standard masyadayim. She's going to go and do moiser. She's going to do more than that. And if she's going to go and make a koinim, she oisa leficha, that hadafa is not going to belong to the husband. That's going to go and belong to her. And therefore, if he wants to have anor from that hadafa, he better be mefer. Otherwise, he won't be able to have anor from it. So what do I see from that Mishnah, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Akiva holds the Hadafa, even though I might have, could have, should have thought that that's just an enlargement, a supplement to the Masyadayim, and therefore it should belong to the husband. No, says Rabbi Akiva, it belongs to him. So Mada Hadafa, with is a shaykhis to the husband. Rabbi Akiva says, she keeps it, it belongs to the Atzma. So certainly the Metzia should belong to the Atzma. Yet we say that Rabbi Akiva holds the Bala. Says the Gemara, you're absolutely right. Ela Eipach, switch the whole thing around. Metzia Seisha is Labala. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Liatzma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it goes Liatzma, it belongs to her. So therefore, the Tana Kama of the Braisa, that's the Tana of our Mishnah, an unnamed, anonymous Tana. And Rabbi Akiva holds the Atzma, exactly like the Breslov Chassidim hold in Yushalayim and in Tzvas. That in the case of Metzia goes the Atzma, right? That's what you said only a few minutes ago.
Sorry, what does Mefer mean?
Mefer means to annul a neder, to avoid, to
invalidate.
Invalidate. Can anybody think of any other terms? To annul, to invalidate, void. To avoid,
abrogate.
Yeah, to abrogate, to uproot, to unleash, to nullify, exactly. Hataris the dark. Yeah, but that's Hataris
is
how far it is.
It's from Afreya, so it's really up.
Okay, well, we get to the sex of the dark.
Not nullifying because.
Anyway,
forward on.
You or I make a neder and we want to be mater neder, we have to go and ask a bezin, and that's why we have these batei dinim that do the Hataris the dark on Erev Rosh Hashanah. You ever participate in that? That's Hataris Nadar.
Right.
If a wife makes a neder, then the husband can be mefer. He doesn't need the bezin. He can go and absolve, void, invalidate, abduct, uproot, unleash, whatever synonyms that you can use to go and annul the neder. Good. By the way, it's not all Nadarim. It has to be very... Yeah, exactly. Imagine we get to Masechus Nadarim. It's not every single neder in the world. Only certain times. The answer is that we're getting now beyond the scope of our Gemara. Imagine we get to the Masechus Nadarim. Nadarim means vows and oaths.
Yes.
Then we will deal with the intricate details.
Thank you.
Getting back to our Gemara. So we have now switched around. Tanakama and Rabbi Kiva. Fine. Great Gemara. What Rabbi Yochanan is telling us is that there's a difference between two different types of hadafa. Hadafa means the increased amount that she's able to produce beyond the standard amount. If it's hadafa shaloi al yedei hadchak, she didn't have to work hard at it, then what is that type of shalei al yedei hadchak? So you see Rashi, the first narrow line, going shehi iranis u'balas melacha. Iranis, I believe, means that she's a city person and not a farm person, and therefore the type of melacha that she does is city work. She doesn't work out in the fields. U'balas melacha, and baruch Hashem, she's geshikt. Geshikt means she's talented, she's creative. You go and give her a task. Somebody else will take 3 hours. She does in half an hour, 1, 2, 3. She should do shalei al yedei hadchak. Not because she put in any special effort, because for Hashem, she has tremendous kishroiness, and it goes quickly, and 1, 2, 3. That's shalei yedei hadchak. The next Rashi says, going shedochka atzma de'adifa. It takes her normally to produce her standard amount of wool, 7 hours a day. She went and put in, she came in an hour early, she left an hour late, and as a result, she really put in a long day, 8, 9, 10 hours, and therefore she was able to go and make moiser and hadafa, and even more. So that's ayedei hadchak. So Zokti Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Badafa shloya yideit chakul yamali pligi de baal habe." If she didn't have to go and really work any harder to make that hadafa, because Baruch Hashem, she is talented, then the husband, just like he gets the regular masiya dayim. By the way, this is not just a freebie, as we learned in the previous parakim. He gives mezoinus tachas masiya day, or masiya day tachas mezoinus.
Rabbi says he should be. That's why it's such a given thing that it says he. She's allowed to have a tear. She's a lawyer, makes $200,000, whatever. She can say, you keep your food, I'll take my money.
You hold like Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that the choyle isha lema lebala, ain't in the zoinus be any oiser. You keep the mezoinus because the zoinus every day you give me lavish meals, $100 a day, beautiful steak, 100%. However, I make $1,000 a day, and therefore I want to keep. That's according to Rav Huna. However, Rav Sheshes disagrees, and Rav Sheshes says no. That see, the Rav Sheshes or Rish Lakish says no. That the primary reason why we give the Masi a dime is for his benefit, not for her benefit, and therefore he can be Mavater, but she cannot. So it really depends on which one is for whom. Is was the primary takana for her benefit, and therefore the getting the Masi a dime is just a backup to give him remuneration, or is the primary for his benefit, and therefore she gets the Mazayin. So that's a machlek as we had earlier on the Mazayin.
Is there any offset between the Hadafa, either Aidechak or Aidechak, and anything he provides? What does he provide? Because she may not produce any hadafa. What does he provide
for the hadafa we had in the Mishnah earlier? He has to go and give the mo'o kesef.
Okay. Which is allowance, the allowance.
The allowance, exactly. And then she used that for the dvarim katan.
We had, it's interesting, because yesterday we had mo'o, we had dobev ches.
Oh, yeah.
We said we had the dalad dinarim.
Four dinarim, which are in the shekel. And then there's six more.
Six more.
That's why 4 times 6 is 24. And then the two punjoin. Right. That's why 48.
The 48 seemed to be a little bit bigger than.
I'm sorry, once again?
It seemed to be more substantial.
The maw is certainly more substantial than the punjoin, but it's certainly less substantial than a dinner, and even less substantial than a shekel or something. And certainly from a maw. Anyway, so Gemara continues on. Nochal. So we have Rabbi Yochanan saying, "Vadov shulei yidei hadchak v'yamli pligi debala." Long said about. Kipli vadov she al yidei hadchak. In other words, the machlokes that we just finished off saying that not Tana Kama says any yochel any tzorach lahafer. Rabbi Kiva says tzorach lahafer because of the hadov possibility. So that machlokes is al yidei hadchak. That what the Tana Kama serve the baal. In such a case, he holds it goes to the baal, and that's why we said in the Mishnah, "Einoy tzorach lahafer." Don't bother being mefer because all hadafa goes to the baal, whether it's ayidei adchak, shaloi ayidei adchak. He always gets it. So if he hears her making a statement, koinim shani ois lepicha, he can ignore it because it's meaningless. Ain't it tzarchlof? Kibas avar. No, if you're talking about it's hadafa shayidei adchak, that is the atzma. If she worked taka harder, all the other women there in the Veberai, where they're weaving all of those wonderful garments, they all take coffee breaks and they all schmooze on the telephone and they're all looking at the internet every 3 minutes to see what somebody said or what somebody didn't say and then to respond or whatever. And she is very diligent and she doesn't have an iPhone and she doesn't take her coffee breaks and she works very hard. Says Rabbi Kim, in such a case, it's Haidofa Shaydei Adchak, therefore the Atzma, she keeps it for herself. Okay. So now, what is the issue? Gemara's kasha is l'choira. How would we allocate, or how would we allot mitzia? Would we say mitzia falls into a situation of hadafa shelo yal yedei adchak, or hadafa she'al yedei adchak? The Gemara assumes in the Havamina that mitzia is like hadafa shelo yal yedei adchak. Why? Because what's the definition of mitzia?
It's a mitzia. You found it.
You walk down the street and you find on the floor $5. That's which I didn't have to work at it to go and find the $5. I just walked across the street and I find $5 on the ground. And it's talking about, of course, in a place where you're allowed to keep that. Because if you're talking about it's a begging with a simon, you have to go me. You have to be makros. But we're not getting into that type. Because just like we can get off a tangent into Nadorim, we can get into Bava Metzia. Just like we went into Bava Kama before. So you're talking about the type of Metzia that you're allowed to go and keep. The Gemara assumed in the Havamina that that's like Hadofa Shaloi Al Yedei Hadchak. If that in fact is the case, I got a big problem. What's my problem? I said a moment ago, the Gabi Metzia, there's a machloikis. We said the machloikis, the Tanakama holds the Atzman, the Kib holds the Bala. Then we switched it around, and we said, no, that the Metzia, according to Tanakama, goes the Bala, according to the Bekiva, goes the Atzman. If Metzia, in fact, happens to be a thing which is similar to Hadov Shloi Ayde Adchak, then Kuli Amalei Pligi, the Bala, everybody agrees it belongs to the Bala. So how does Rabbi Kiva say it's the Atzma? That's what the Brisa said now, according to the emendation. Even according to the first Lashon, the way we had it initially, would also be Akasha. It would be Akasha not on Rabbi Kiva, it would be Akasha on the Tanakama. In other words, how can you even have a Machloikis? Everybody agrees that Hadov Shloi Ayde Adchak goes to the Baal. If Metzia is like Hadov Shloi Ayde Adchak, it goes to the Baal. How can it be a Machloikis in Metzia? everything the premise of your kasha is faulty. Metziyasa kadofisha al yedei adchak dami. And metziyah is like kadofisha yedei. Why is metziyasha yedei adchak? So the Rashi says something interesting. The next Rashi, Umar Papa, about 10 lines from the top, says Rashi, the roiv metziyos tzorach lechazer acharein. I'll be roiv metziyos, and that's when you walk down the street, you usually don't find $5 on. What's the last time you find dollars on the street? It's a rare thing. Rabbi Yitzchak said in Masechet Metziyah that a person is constantly feeling his kiss b'chol shor b'shor to make sure that he doesn't lose his wallet, he didn't lose his keys. People are careful about what they're wearing and holding. So what type of Metziyah are we referring to? Keep going. Dogim shenisharu bi'abasha. There was a big tidal wave that brought hundreds of fish onto the side of the shore, and then the water receded, the dogim are there. I'm only going to find it if I'm going to go to the seashore. If I'm walking down Western Avenue, I'm not going to find those dogim. I got to go over there to go and find them. Oy tzvi shavur. What happens if you have a tzvi deer, which is lame, he broke its leg? That's not an easy thing to find. If you find such a tzvi, oh, I got it. Oy lechapis sima bekarka. Sima bekarka means something which is a hidden treasure underneath. Every once in a while you read about in the papers that they found an old Civil War boat from 1862 or something like that, that they found down below, and they found tons of
gold coins
and jewelry and other things that were in the safes inside that. You know how much they had to pay to go and find that boat, which is sunk? Millions of dollars. Eventually, they found the metziah. But the metziah, there was a lot of overhead and a lot of investment to find that metziah. So metziahs are not so easy to come by. That being the case, as he said, that's hadofa sha'al yedei adchak. No, they were okay, because Rabbi Yochanan said, hadofa yedei adchak is in fact the machloikis, whether it's la'atzma or la'bal, and that's the same machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Kiva of that raisa. Talk to Yomar, Omer HaPapa, Yosra Deo Ha, that's hadofa yedei adchak, domi, and plug to Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan, like we said. Now the Yomar asks, Boi Rapapa, Osis Eloi, Shtayim Bebas Achas Mah, O Boi Ravina, Shloish Oidali Bebas Achas Mah. We want to be able to define if a lady is very tichlig and she's able to do two or three things simultaneously. As we say today, multitasking. Can you go and does that belong to him or does that belong to her? Now, how do you do multitasking today? Usually today it's you're on a conference call and at the same time you're typing something up and you're giving something here and doing this because you're not really listening to the conference call.
But the lawyer's double bill and that's a joke.
Now you're asking good questions. So now, Baruch Hashem, I'm retired. But getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara wants to know, give me an example of two or three or four things. So look at Rashi. Rashi tells us, Shtayim Shalish Ve'arba Basachas, Shemeres Kishuam. One of her jobs is that she watches over the Kishuam patch. What are Kishuam? They are gourds, or pumpkins, or pickles, or cucumbers. Oh, that's the gourd, things of that kind.
It's the lowest level of work.
Exactly. So a person sits there, it's something similar to our doormen in many of the buildings, particularly those in my building where they don't get up from their seats. No, Mr. Red, I have to look at the screens to make sure that nobody's stealing something on the roof, or nobody is, there's no perpetrator going down the staircase on the 18th floor, etc., etc. Anyway, so they have to sit there in place. So it's a real easy job. So at the same time, the Shemeres Kishuam, she's also Tava Bishop. At the same time, she's also knitting away and doing some knitting and some sewing. And the same time, don't let her shir and ashim. She has over there a group of young ladies, and she's teaching them how to sing, and, you know, a higher pitch and a lower pitch, and how the rhythm goes. And b'schar, for all these things, she's getting money. And moreover, mechamem is bein b'cheka. She could be that she's also trying to hatch these little eggs, and they should become chicklets. The birds flew the coop, so she has now bayim in her lap, and they're nicely covered and all the rest, and hopefully in a day or two they're going to hatch. She's going to get paid for that. Or you're talking about silkworms that form into cocoons, and then she holds those as well. They also keep them in their lap, and they cover them, and they're nice and warm. They noise them, and they grow, and that's wonderful. So all of these things she can get paid for, and she can do all of those things multitasking, one thing not bothering the other. She can sit there next to the Kishuam a whole day. Nobody's going to come to the Kishuam patches when they see that somebody is watching it, so she gets paid for that. And at the same time, she's knitting, or she's giving music lessons, or she's making a silk from silkworms. Yes, Shelley, what would you like to share with us?
So instead of double dipping, she's quintuple dipping.
Quintuple dipping. Okay, very good. Beautiful. So, question is, if she gets paid for each one of those activities, Who does that belong to? Is that considered to be Hadafa Yideyachak, Shleya Yideyachak, says you want to take you, teach me a time.
Somebody would keep it then, because she's mocked looks after
them. The person who, you know, if and when she gets that salary, right, she'll be mufzak, yes, and then the husband's right to take it back. You're right, l'choyer be moitzi mechaber. L'choyer, you're right.
The last one's Rashi, v'heim notes for him, what's the, how would you...
And it means that they grow.
Oh, thank you.
Shabbos. Zogt mor vayt boy shtup in gam mas kul rab bar rab khanan el mi yato. What is this with that? An honor thing that the queen?
A velo. An honor velo.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Sure,
no, it's okay. Not. It's inside.
It'll go away eventually. So, we said in our mission, the boy shtup in gam according to Yehud ben Beseda, that's from the iPhone. Oh, okay. You mentioned from that person.
Then I'll say the queen died.
I think so. Yeah. Or could be that's
the
a modern
king, the
day.
King, the king.
Could be a modern day Tekiah Shoifer in the middle of El. But let's continue on. So Rav Yehuda ben Beseda said that you have to allocate if it's Beseda or Bagoli. Maskev Rav Ruchana was not happy with this whole idea, and he says only Yata. Nimar uses somewhat of an interesting term. When I'm the biyish susoshish chaverei, when I'm somebody's mavayish, somebody else's horse. Achnami the boy lemeisim le boishes. Do you have to go and give boishes to the owner of the horse because his horse was embarrassed? So why do you say over here lehavdil that the husband goes and gets her busha? What does he have to do with her busha? Just like someone embarrasses your sus, your horse, do you go and get boishes for that, a payment? Says Gemara, I don't even understand your question. This is barboisha, so this is such a strange example because there's no such thing as being mavayish your horse. You're going to go and scream at the horse and everybody say, oh, that horse was humiliated, you got to pay the horse. Come on. Yeah, you're crazy. Ella says Gemara, you're right. I'm going to give you a much better example. So again, maskev rov v'barav chonan elam roka v'vigdei shel chaveiroi achanami deboi lemeisen lei boishes. What happens if somebody spits at someone else? Not a very nice thing to do. And the spittle did not go and settle on that person's flesh, on his skin, but rather on that person's beged. Do you have to go and pay boishes for that? And the answer is, as we'll see in a moment, no. Why is that different than the case of the wife? You're going to go and tell me that if you spit on somebody else's beged, you have to pay, but now we have a Mishnah. Rokak, the igia, boy haroik, the spittle reached that person, meaning on the person's skin. Or parosh isha, a person went and removed the covering of a lady's, he removed her tichel, he removed her hat, shaitel, etc. Or behever talisa imimeno, a person goes and removes somebody else's talis, his coat, whatever. In all of those cases, if he's mavayishim by doing these terrible things, chayiv litoli arba meyazuz, he has to go and pay arba meyazuz, a penalty for going and being mavayishim. V'yomer papa, lo yishanu ela boy. In the first case, rocket v'giya boy haroik. The spittle fell on the person's skin. Big dry, if it fell on the person's shirt or the person's pants, then you're potter. Then you don't have to pay this Arab Meizus. So Timura, why? We just said now by uns that if a person is mavayish, somebody else's wife, for instance, if he would spit on the lady, so that would be also a boishes. So why don't you go and say, he doesn't deserve to get paid. It's no different than it happened on his beged. On his beged, he doesn't get paid. Why should he go and get paid on his wife? Maybe she should get paid. That's fine.
But
why
should he? He still get goofball.
But that's his beged.
Would you do me a favor? Go six lines ahead. You see what it says? Masnisim. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
What are the three words before that?
Can you read them?
Can you read them? Ishtoi gufei haver. That's your teretz.
Okay.
But to get to the teretz, we first sometimes have to ask kashas.
Okay.
This is the Socratic method of learning. You happen to be a grace of professor, you know that. So first you ask questions, then you come up with the answers, right?
Yes.
Good. Rahab Dalal Fiyatolis, right?
We
learned it from us, not from
right, right, exactly.
Of course, goes without saying. V'yom Rabbah, Leishona Eleboi, the big doy potter. If it goes on the beggar, he's potter. See, the beggar is potter. Zotimura, of course, how can you compare a beggar to a woman? The big day less like zilusa, ishtoi is zilusa. If the spittle comes on the beggar, okay, he has to wash it out, he'll put it in the washing machine, he'll clean it. That's not a terrible busha. But on his wife, it's a terrible busha. That's why he's entitled to go and get some payment. Why did the Gemara immediately answer the same as Gufay? You'll see in a moment. Amri Ravina Ravashi, Elameata, Biyesh, Ani Ben Toibin, the Islahu, Zilusa, Lekulu B'nai Mishpacha, Harami the boy Lameith, Lehu, Boyshul Chol B'nai Mishpacha. If you're telling me that anybody that is affronted, offended, affected by this busha gets paid, like the husband is upset that his wife never got such a busha, so why don't you go and say if you have a person who's a Psachoshevi Yid, from a chashev mishpacha, and they humiliated him, then all the b'nei mishpacha humiliated. It's not only my father, my brother, my cousin. The whole mishpacha is upset. Nebuch, did you hear what they said about Rabbi Smith? Rebbe Smith is upset, and his 8 children are upset, and his 3 brothers are upset, his grandmother is upset, the 2 cousins. Each one of them should get a payment because the Rabbi Smith has been humiliated. Why do you say that the husband is different? Amalei, how can you compare? Hasam lav gufayu. That's not their guf. It's taka a cousin. It's a brother. It's a sister. It's a parent. It's not the same individual. Hachay ishtoi gufahava, which is the Torah that we heard from Ariel so authoritatively just a few moments ago. Shkoyach. So therefore, ishtoi kigufa, it's as if the spittle fell on him as opposed to falling on his wife, and therefore he has also been damaged at the same time.
On her directly, not in her clothing though.
And her directly.
Yeah.
But just like a first.
Yeah, yes.
Avad, it goes without saying.
But good. It's still not stems so well because he gets, if it's public, you know, he gets 2/3.
That was Ariel's point. He was quite upset about that half an hour ago. We managed to appease him, so please be appeased.
I was hoping towards the end we would have some resolution.
Yeah, that's a mention for extra credit for homework. Looks at all the Mepharshim and the postgame.
We're learning tomorrow's Gemara, so we have time.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, plenty of time. Okay. On to the next mishnah. By the way, there's a very famous story about Rabbi Ari Levin was a tzaddik Yerushalayim, that his wife had a toothache, and they made an appointment with the dentist, and both of them went to the dentist. The dentist said, "No, what's the story?" And so he said, "We have a toothache." So he, even though it was his wife, he said, "We have a toothache."
Pronouns.
Good. On to the next mishnah. Zuk the mishnah. Hapoisik mo'ois lechosnoi. A person is marrying off his daughter and is giving a nadin for his daughter. And therefore he promised to give for his son-in-law kach v'kach. And what happened to Meis Chosin? Unfortunately the son-in-law passed away. And now there is a Yavam. And now the Yavam says, well, I'm taking the place of my dead brother, and therefore I want that same amount that you promised to my brother. The father-in-law can go and say, your brother, he was at Chachka, at Tzadik, at Kudish, at Tamar Chochem, a wonderful guy. For him, I promise to go and give the extra money for the nat. For you, you're not on that same madrega, and I'm not going to give it to you. That's the first halacha of the Mishnah. We're going to address that on the Amud Beis in greater detail. But now we start off on something else. And now we're talking about, which is normally called in the Mishnah, is Nechzi Tzoyin Basel, which means that if she brings into the marriage certain nechasim which she has assessed and appraised, and they are set forth in the ksuba itself at the end of this marriage, why would the marriage terminate either because either he died or because he gives a divorce? At that time he has to return that nechzi tzoyin basel to her. However, if it's a piece of real estate, that's easy to give back. If you're talking, however, about cash, if you're talking about metalkalin, cash, of course, is fungible, and metalton can also easily break and all the rest. So now the question is, how much is he going to have to go and pay after this marriage terminates, which might be in a day, or might also be in 20 years, or 50 years? What happens? So says the Imam.
Paska.
Paska lahachnis loy elef dinar. She agreed, it's not from her money, but really from her father's money, to bring into the marriage elef dinar. And now we're assuming we're talking about real cash. Elef dinar, 1,000 dinar. What happens now? Who chamesh esrei mana? He has to go and now put into the ksuba that if and when this marriage were to terminate, he's not going to go and pay back elef dinar. He's going to go and pay back chamesh esrei mana. What's the difference between chamesh esrei mana and elef dinar? So Rashi already tells us about the various denominations to make our life a little bit easier. Very short Rashi says, elef dinar hein asara mana. So when he agreed to give 10 dinar, it's as if, I'm sorry, 1,000 dinar, it's as if he's saying, I'm going to give 10 mana. And therefore, when we write now in the shtar that he's going to have to return chamesh esrei mana, means he has to go and give back 150%. 100% the original 10 mana plus another 50%, that's Chamesh Esrei mana. The presumption for the reason why he has to go and give more is because he's having the benefit of all of these funds. And then many of the poskim say, oy bezoy, isn't that ribis? Isn't that interest? It's a very interesting question. And the answer that they give is very simple. That interest is always based on agar nota. Agar nota means the time waiting for the money. Since I left the money with the borrower for a year, I'm sorry?
Time value.
The time value, that's a better expression, thank you. The time value of money. I left with the loave of this money for a year, and therefore I want to get paid for waiting for the repayment of that loan, and therefore I'm waiting, I'm entitled to get 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever. But that's only if it's based on time. Here we're talking about a situation where this marriage may last another 50 years, or the marriage may last another 5 minutes, or 5 days. In all cases, he has to return the 15 mana. Oh, so that's not called ribis anymore, because it's not for waiting the time period, the time value. 5 days, you wouldn't deserve to receive 50%. Over a period of 50 years, maybe you should go and get 100% or 200% if you're talking about real ribis. Therefore, that's why it's not considered to be ribis. Presumably, they could have also given the reason that Sad Echad Beribis is not Ribis according to many. What means Sad Echad Beribis? Because it's only if he were to die first, or if he gives her a divorce. If she dies first, then automatically it all belongs to him. He doesn't have to pay back a nickel. So therefore, it's again only a Sad Echad Beribis and not 100% Ribis. Okay, anyway, that's Halacha Nebuah. That's a very simple Halacha. Now we're going to get a little bit more complicated. And what is the complication? She didn't bring in cash, she rather brought in metalklin. And those metalklin are being valued, and now, with an appraisal, and now he has to go and eventually return them, not the actual metalklin, for all we know, they've expired, they are broke, they're in the trash bin, consumed. Whatever. Consumed, worn out, whatever it happens to be. So he has to go and pay back. How much does he have to pay back? So our Mishnah tells us that it depends on whether the appraisal is a private appraisal done either by his family or her family, or whether this is an appraisal of the American Appraisal Institute of Greater New York or something like that. So, continuing on the Mishnah, Ukeneged Hashum Hu Poisik Hochis Choymish. If in the shtar or in the ksuba, it doesn't have to be written in the ksuba, but if she says to her husband, to the chosin, I'm going to go and give you metalpin which are worth 1,000. And here's an appraisal, and it's signed and it's stamped by Mrs. Smith's family, that they have a personal appraisal. For those of you that have ever taken appraisal, as you know, the customer usually has a lot to say vis-a-vis what the appraiser is going to write. The appraiser often asks them, do you want to have the larger amount or the smaller amount? There's a certain amount of discretion, blah, blah, blah.
Is it for taxes? Is it for a loan?
All of the foregoing. Here in particular explains Rashi that when a chosin and kala get married, the kala wants the chosin to really feel good. He'll be able to go and tell his friends, and especially when the person who reads the ksuba out at the chuppah, people say, wow, did you hear how much she is giving and how much she's going to have to give back? Wow! And so therefore they tend to inflate the value of the metalklin. And because of that inflation, he's allowed to write in the ksuba, I'm going to return to you 80%. In other words, take a 20% discount. And that's what it says in the Mishnah. Keneged Hashum, if she brings in a private appraisal, who poisik, he says, okay, fine, I'm going to pay you back. But not the 1,000, I'm going to go and pay you the 800. Pachas chaymish, a fifth less. I know Melabar, Melagav, just make it simple, 20% less. Now, if it's shum bimona, vishavim mona, ainly elamana. What happens if, in fact, the original appraisal that they did was that these metalkin worth a mona? And, in fact, when you go out in the marketplace and you ask people how much are these metalkin worth, they tell you, this is really a mona. This appraisal is the real McCoy. This is not inflated. Okay, then he only has to pay back a mona. Here, he doesn't have to add another 50%, because 50% is only if it's cash, which is a metalkin. You don't have to add. But there's no discount because this was a real legitimate appraisal. Now, Shum Bimona, he no senes shloshim the echad sella the dinner. Here we're starting the other way around. He already wrote into the ksuba that after the achad mei v'esrim, after he passes away, or if he gives her a get, he has to go and return to her a mana. A mana is the equivalent of 25 sloim. So now, he's already written the bottom line. Now we have to go and add to that the fifth to understand that he has taken the fifth as a discount. So we're doing now reverse arithmetic. Instead of starting off with the 1,000 and reducing it to 800 because we're taking a discount of 20%, we're starting off with the 800 and we're getting back to the 1,000. So what's our case over here? We're talking about over here a mana. Now, we know that a fifth is milagav, and then it would be a quarter milabar. That means from the inside and from the outside. So what does that mean in our situation? What happens if you were to take a quarter of 25? A quarter of 24, everybody agrees, would be six. How much is a quarter of the remaining one?
A quarter.
A quarter. So it would be a quarter of 25 is 6 1/4. Add 6 1/4 to 25. 25 and 6 1/4 gets you to 31 1/4. Ah, so therefore, the 25 is already a fifth discount from the original. Because if you took a quarter of the 25, you add the 6 1/4, now it's 31 1/4. And now a fifth of 31 1/4 is that 6 1/4, and you're remaining with the other 25. Yeah, I hope everybody chapped. So therefore, says Gemara, if he wrote into the shtar, shum b'mana, that after this marriage terminates, he's going to go and give the money, which is 25, then he makes sense, how much does she have to give now in the value of metalkalin? 31, shleishim yachad, sell of a dinner. Since a four dinner to a sell, it's a 31 1/4, so that's a 6 1/4, that's the fifth of the total amount, right? It's a quarter, if you're looking at the 25, but it's a fifth of the total amount, 31 1/4. And similarly, ba'arba meyos, he makes sense, chomish meyos. If they wrote into the shtar that he's going to return 400, then she has to actually give him now 500. Again, because of this 20% or 25% discount. The Gemara is going to ask, why are we repeating this?
Right.
Exactly. That's going to be the Gemara's kasha. Shkoyach for raising that. Kamashia chosin poisik. Anything that the chosin says he's going to go and give when this marriage terminates, upoisik pachas chaimish. If you're talking about metalkalin, you can always take a fifth. Oh, didn't we say that already three times? What? How many times after repeat? The Gemara is going to ask that.
When we said that if it's worth a mana, and if it's truly worth a mana, then it is a mana. But what circumstances do we say it's truly worth, and what do we say it's appraised?
Very good. So Rashi says, if it's a private appraisal done by the Chosin's family or the Kala's family, you have to worry about inflated appraisal prices. And in those circumstances, you get the chaimish, you get the 20% discount. Okay. If, however, if you took these same items and you took them to the marketplace, let's say they appraised a gold watch, they said it's worth $5,000. Rolodex, $5,000. And then you go to the Rolodex store, how much is this watch cost? $5,000. Right? So you see that that's the market price for that item. What's a Rolodex? I don't know. Anyway, Zukti Mara. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Brayson. Ein Tzarech Lehem. Remember, we started off the Mishnah saying that if the Shver said, for the Chosin, I was willing to give a lot of money. For you, the Yavam, I'm not interested in giving money to you. So the Gemara assumes that a Talmud Chacham is much more refined, obviously more scholarly than the Amaretz. It's Tana Rabban, Ein Tzarech Lehem Rishon Talmud Chacham V'Sheni Amaretz. You don't have to say that case. That's Avada that we can understand why the Shver wanted to give a nice dowry for the first husband. He's not interested in the Yavam because the Yavam is not Prost Amaretz, he's illiterate. But not only that, you can also have a situation where the Shver says, your brother who is the Amaretz, he was talking Amaretz, but he was a nice guy, always with a smile, he always greeted me so warmly when I came into shul, I really felt so good. But as far as you're concerned, you can be a Talmud Chacham, but I don't particularly like you, and therefore I don't want to give you any money. So therefore, so therefore, it doesn't have to do with scholarship or being literate or illiterate. It has to do with what the Shver's feelings are for the Yavam compared to the original son. Zok Gemara, Paskal Hachdis Loi Elef Dinner. And now the Gemara asks what we were bothered by before. Hayin Reisha, didn't we repeat this already a few times in our Mishnah? Ev Gemara Tana Shuma Rabba, Uktani Shuma Zuta. Tana Shuma Didei, Uktani Shuma Dita. We're trying to go and cover all of the bases. So we're talking about a Shuma Rabba. Shuma Rabba means where there's a very large amount. Let's say they put an amount of $50,000 in the... Some of you will think $50,000, that's nothing. Okay, it depends on... Everything is relative. So a very large amount. I can understand on metalkalin, which are expensive, it's easy for the appraiser to say, it's really worth 20% more, and we all know it's worth 20% less, and that's why you get the 20% discount, something big. But if you're talking about something which is worth $500, there's not that much value over here that you can really magnify and inflate it. So I might think you can inflate it 5%, 10%. You can't inflate it 20%. Everybody will laugh and say, this is not worth 500, it's only worth 400. You're nuts. You know that. So therefore, the Gemara has to, therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us, it makes a difference. It's a big shuma, it's a small shuma, a big ticket item, a small ticket item. In all cases, if you are concerned that it's inflated, then you get the 20% discount. And all it tells is shuma didin, k'tani shuma dida. Shuma dida means that her family went and did the shuma. Why would the family want to inflate it? So that he, the chosin, should be desirous of this shidduch. After all, there's a negotiation going on over here. How much is he going to give? She going to give? Blah, blah, blah. If you go and give an appraisal and say, oh, these items are worth it. Oh, so much. Then the chosin says, oh, then I'm interested in the shidduch. So that's why they would go and inflate it. That would be shuma dida. You could also have shuma didei, where the family of the chosin wants the chosin to feel good, and they want also all family and friends of the chosin to feel good, and they'll say, oh, you see, our chosin did a great deal. Not only did he get a tzedekis for a wife, who's such a wonderful lady, with all the malish chosin b'tayra, but look how much the dowry is, look how much the nan is, a huge fortune. So there would be an inclination on his side as well, that if he has a private appraiser, to go and inflate the figures. So that's why the Mishnah gives all of the various examples. The Rashi goes and explains which one is this and which one is that. In other words, all the examples is to cover all bases, whether it's big ticket item, small ticket item, whether it's his appraiser or her appraiser.
I have an unresolved issue from the afternoon bays where we had learned that with this Yehuda Bar Maymar, whatever, said it was with her papa, and they went to give the Nadan.
Yeah, and he said,
you
shouldn't have given so much.
You shouldn't give really anything, said, because you're uprooting what the Torah says Yerusha should be. I don't know, I guess we just left that and just,
not a common practice. We would have to go back to that Gemara, but I don't think it's exactly the way you are quoting it. The Gemara quoting it that Rapapa was going, and Yudimar Rema says, I'm coming along, and then when he got to the doorsteps, he says, I'm going home. No, I want you to come in. I don't want to come in. Why don't you want to come in?
Pressure.
Because of the pressure. Anyway, ultimately he persuaded him, he came in, and he sat there, and the other side, the Mechudin, gave him everything. And then he said, now you're still silent. I gave everything, the shirt off my back, I have nothing left. He said, if you would have asked me, Yudimar Rema, I wouldn't have given so much. I would only given half of the amount, a much lesser amount. So he says, maybe I should now be an Indian giver. No, that I wouldn't say. Once you've agreed, and you're stuck with it. Yes, you reviewed him. Anyway, back to our Mishnah. Zuk the Mishnah. Paskal hachnis loik sofim sala, nasa shisha dinrim. Guess what? We're repeating again what we had in the previous Mishnah. That what? He agreed that in terms of the kesef, it would be a selah, nasa shisha dinim. Not he agreed. He agreed meaning the shver. The wife brings in, the kala is bringing in, how much kesef? A selah. So we know a selah is zintayt mendi. It's 4 dinrim. Since you have to do the extra 50%, if it's 4 dinrim, you have to add 2 more. You have to go and write into the ksuba 6 dinrims. If and when this marriage terminates, he has to pay back 6 dinrim. Again, the Gemara is going to ask, didn't we say that already? How many times do you have to repeat yourself? We get to it. Achosim mekabel olav asara dinrim lekupa lechol mana umana. Every mana that he gets as part of the nadin, he has to go and give 10% to the kupa. What's kupa? We'll see mentioned in the Gemara that he has to give his wife for purposes of cosmetics, for makeup. If you think cosmetics, this is modern, the 21st century. Kvar hoyu le'oylamin. What did Reb Chiya say back? In the Gemara, Ein Isha El Yoifi. Now this is an altabas. So he has to go and give a Sarah Dinrim, and we'll see Mitchum, the Chol Mana Umana. Every single Mana has 100 Dinrim. We said in the Yomid Aleph, Mana has 25 Sloim. Every Selah has 4 Dinrim. 25 times 4 is 100. So, and Mana has 100 Dinrim, you have to give 10% a Sarah Dinrim. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Hakel Kiminig HaMedina. There's no set rule of 10%. It really depends. Every Medina, every place where what the custom was in terms of how much you give for cosmetics. So, Gemara, we started off the Mishnah that if they agreed to sell out, then he has to pay back Shisha Dinrim. Didn't we have that already in the previous Mishnah? That it said that if she put in that it's going to be 10 mana, or the Mishnah uses Elasinar, then he has to add 50%, he has to be 15. So we already went through this. On the Amud Aleph, we were talking about that. Remember, the previous Gemara, right before the Mishnah, was talking about the Shuma. Here we're not talking about Shuma anymore. Here we're talking about cash. So in the previous Mishnah we said that if she brought in 1,000 dinar, which is 10 mana, he has to write in 15 mana, extra 50%. Here we're saying she brought in one salah, he has to go and write in 6 dinarim into the ksuba. So Zokti Yamara, why do you have to repeat it? Tana iska rabba, tana iska zuta. There you're talking about big business, you're talking about 1,000 dinar, or a large amount of money. Here you're talking about a small petty cash, just one salah. In both cases, an additional 50%. Utsrich, titana iska rabba, the nafish rafcha. You know why you have to pay 50%? Because if you start off with so much capital, hopefully you'll do very well, you'll be very successful, and you got to pay back 50% more. Of iskazuta, desuta ravcha, how much can you already fadin on one little dinner? How much can you make already on that? On one, not a dinner, on a seller. Hey, you know, you're talking about this small amounts of money.
Right.
So I would think, don't give 50%, give 5%, get 10%. Aim a life. Isrich. Vyashvin iskazuta, small iska, desuta ziyuna. There's very little expense, very little overhead. Because we're not talking about a huge business. We're talking about a small, petty cash business.
There's a little risk also.
Exactly. Now, the iska rabba, the nafish unit, there's much more overhead and expense and all that. And headache. Aim a light. So I might think maybe have to give more than 50%. Maybe you have to double the amount. It's three that you have to... Okay. Chosim mekabel over sorry, dinner. Kupa, my kupa. So we already explained. Ravashi, kupa shel psamim. Psamim sounds like it's perfumes. However, we'll see in a moment, not necessarily. V'yom Ravashi. In Yerushalayim, that was the standard rate, and that's how much they gave from the kupa, 10%, etc. Now, the question is, in Yerushalayim, something special with psamim, if anything...
The opposite, because the ketores was so fragrant, women didn't need perfume, no one needed perfume, it expanded...
Excellent kasha, and that's the middle toisis, which is parallel to our Gemara. Le'nemadvar malol le'ib Yerushalayim, but the amirim aparek teref ha'kalfi, and the sechtas yuma, shalei hoisa kala tzrich le'sbasim Yerushalayim, m'nei reyach ha'ketores. Says toisis vadi le'reyach le'hoi tzrich le'sbasim. You're right, they didn't need the perfumes. For all different types of creams, depilatory to be able to go and pull out all the hair, all the fashion kamatim and to take away the wrinkles, etc., etc. So obviously, although the Gemara uses the term psamim, it doesn't mean literally perfumes. It means cosmetics generally that women use to beautify themselves.
So the goats used to sneeze and not far from
right. Boy, Ravashi. Since we're saying that you started off with a mana and you have to give asara dinrim, we finished saying in the previous mission, the previous Gemara, that if you're not talking about cash, but you're talking about metalkalin, how do you go and measure the mana? Is the mana that appraised value of the metalkalin that are being brought into the marriage? Or is the mana miskabel that he takes upon himself at the end of the marriage, if and when it terminates, to go and pay the mana? So how do you measure the 10% that you're talking about in the Mishnah of the larger figure or the smaller figure? Now, how often do you have to give this? Is this Yom Rishon just the first day? I call Yom V'Yom every single day of the marriage. So if you're going to go and tell me every day, is it just for the first week? Or is it for every single week? And intim tzolim kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, chodesh rishon just for the first month, kol chodesh v'chodesh, perhaps every month of the marriage, intim tzolim kol chodesh v'chodesh, only shana rishona, kol shana v'shana. Now, implicit in the Gemara's asking the kasha is that eventually there's not going to be any money left. You can talk about giving 10% at the beginning of the marriage, that's all fine and dandy. But if you're going to go and give it every single day, in 10 days, you're done. Or if you're going to talk about in 1 month, the next month, etc., even if you say Isaraisa Derebi, that means you only do 10% of whatever's left over.
Exactly.
It's like Maisa. But also eventually it's going to decimate the entire fortune. So the Gemara doesn't come out with a clear ruling as to how often or how much, or is this a one-time thing about giving the kupa, take. The Gemara can also mean, does it mean that you give the whole 10% in one day, or do you go and split it up? Yeah, I'm going to give it 10%, but I'm going to give it over a year. Each day I'm going to go and give
a fraction,
right? Until after a year it's going to add up to 10%, or maybe multiple years. And all of that is built into the question of our Gemara. Take it. And now the Gemara tells us a couple of stories, and as we'll see, one of the stories is going to have a very, very sad story. We talked about Nachim Ben Gurion yesterday.
Yep.
Now, he was one of the three Ashirim. Yesterday I misquoted the Gemara Masechta Gittin. Who were the three that were great Ashirim? One of them was Ben Kalva Savor that we had, that was the father-in-law of Rabbi Kiva. The other one was Ben Tzitzis Aksas, that he wore long tzitzis and it would flow on silken garments or on cushions, beautiful Persian carpets, etc. And then the third one was Makdim and Goyim. I said yesterday it was Martin Bices. She's brought in that Gemara right after that. Right. And after that, she unfortunately didn't have any food, and she sent the Shliach, and the Shliach went back.
White bread, black bread, being sorry.
Except. And then eventually she went on her own, and then her shoe fell off, and she stepped into the Tzoya, and she went Gefelech. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara. So Nakdim and Guni was one of those three, and the Gemara says that those three were so rich, they could have supported the entire Yerushalayim for 21 years. And now you have the daughter of Nakdim Ben Gurion. Now what's the story with her? So apparently she is an almana, and the father passed away, and now she needs money. So what happens now? And they said, we're going to give her 400 zuhuvim for that kuba, for that day. In other words, Rashi says, just for one day. So look, the previous Rashi says, Shemez Bala, just like I need mezonis until I remarry, I also need, of course, the cosmetics. I can't go around without cosmetics. Well, what are people going to go and say about me? So therefore, they gave her 400 zuhuvim just for a day for the kubsha. She was not impressed. Apparently, this was not the sufficient amount that she was accustomed to. And she said to them, your daughter should have that arba meir zehuvim, the amount that you gave me. She meant it, of course, in a negative sense. However, on Achrei Amin, they say, yo, get out of the way, halavai.
And there was machlokas, what she meant yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday. In fact, the bottom toises talks about that. If you look at the last one, Achrei Amin, Lamali, see the last toises. See, you should come from Tzvas and from Yishlaim all the time, how much you've enhanced
our living.
Zog the toises. Onu Achrei Ashli, hoye bala chai. Toisis apparently disagrees with Rashi, because Rashi says it's talking about Shemei's Bala. The Baal died, and that's why the Bezin is now allocating monies from the estate. Here says Toisis, no, it's talking about like we had in the Mishnah, where the husband traveled away to Medina Sayyam, and then he appointed a Sholish, or the Bezin is appointing a Sholish, to go and give her not only Mezoinis, but also cosmetics. And so therefore, in this case, they did say Amen because Baruch Hashem, her husband was alive, and not like yesterday was a Shemeres Yavam that her husband had died, and therefore we thought if they say Amen, Chas Hashem, that her whole lot should happen to our daughters, Chulila, our daughters should have husbands and maybe Esau. Okay, now we talk about another story. Tana Rabban Amasim Rabbi Yochim and Zakisho, Yeroichav El Chamar, he was traveling, for Yoitzim Yishalayim, for Yitalmidim Mahalkan Achrab, and he had a whole entourage of Talmidim, Ra Riba Achas, and they saw a young lady. This is a very, 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 very sad story. Right. You had Arabs that owned animals. The animals went and were matel glolim. There was excrement on the floor. And in the excrement of the animals, you could see small little kernels of sa'oirim, of the barley. In other words, the animal didn't do a good job in chewing its cud. Presumably it was an animal that doesn't chew its cud, like a gomel, which is a non-kosher animal. So it only chews it once, it doesn't go back again for further chewing and chewing and chewing. So there was some sa'oirim left intact in those glolim, and she was never extricating those sa'oirim. Sorry?
Gleaning them.
She was gleaning them, to go and be able to eat from those sa'oirim. When this young lady, we haven't identified her yet, but as soon as she saw Rabbi Yochanan coming with all the Talmidim, so in this Atfa Besara, she immediately covered herself. In other words, she covered her hair with whatever baggage she had. The Umdilafanavin, she stood up, and Umrloi, Rabbi Parnaseni, Rabbi, help me out, give me tzedakah, give me something to eat, give me something, Nebuch, I'm starving, I'm Nebuch collecting these items from the Glolim. Umrloi, biti miat, where do you come from, who are you? Umrloi, Bas Nakdim Ben Gurion.
Wow.
That's Nakdim Ben Gurion, who was one of the richest people in the world. Where did all that money go to that you're now asking and Nebuch, you have to have tzedakah? Omrli Rebbe, so she said, Rebbe, like a day misla, mislin, misla be Yishalayim. Isn't there a famous mashal that they say in Yishalayim? Melach mamoin choser, the amri la chesed. What does that mean? Melach means to salt. Even today, they use the expression to salt away the mamain, to go and insulate and to store it away, and to make sure it doesn't get sour. That's why you salt it. How do you go and salt money that it shouldn't go bad? Says Rashi, to go and give tzedakah. To give a lot of tzedakah, that's the way you salt away the money that it shouldn't go bad and you shouldn't lose it. Otherwise, never chitz chasim.
Eternal vengeance.
The Amri, the others say, don't say chasim, but chesed. You want to go and store the money and salt it away. Do a lot of chasadim, do a lot of tzedakah. So the mice, it's the same thing. It's just a question of the text of the gift. Abav shel beis chamicha heichanu. No, mamayla, I know that from the, this is the basnak demon goyim. But Yeshver holds that money. As you know, typically Ashirim like to go and make shiduchim with Ashirim. So he holds that money. What happened to that money? Amaloi bozeh v'ibir ezeh. So Rashi says that after they got married, the monies were merged in the same bank account. Money is fungible, as you know, so they merged it. And Senembach, that poison that attached itself to the father's money attached itself as well to the father-in-law's money. Nebuch, everything was lost. Amrulai, so she said to him, Rebbe, Sechoyer Ata, don't you remember, Kishachasamt al Ksuvasi, you were one of the Edom that signed in the Ksuba. Really? Amrulai, Lefamid of Zechorani, yes, I remember, Kishachasamti al Ksuvasi Shalzu, Vayisi Koyreba, when I read it, maybe he had the kibbut of reading it under the Chuppah, maybe yes, maybe not, but he read it before he signed. Elef alafim dinrei zahav mibeis avia chutz mishal chamia. From her father's home, she was the daughter of Nachti ben Gurion, she got 1,000 times thousands, which would mean 1,000 times 1,000, of course, is 1,000,000. 1,000 times thousands, now we're talking about millions of dinrei zahav, not kesef, dinrei zahav mibeis avia. Chutz mishal chamia, besides what she got from the beis chamia, that was, of course, ulza moisif in the ksuba. Bacher b'yechem zakevi omar, Rabbi Yechim and Zaki started crying, and he said, "Omar, Ashreichem Yisrael b'zman she'oisim tzoni shalmokim, ein kol uma v'loshin sheletzes behem, b'zman she'ein oisim tzoni shalmokim, moisun biyad uma shfeilim." Unfortunately, if they don't do the tzoni shalmokim, they don't give tzedakah, chas v'shalom, they fall to an uma shfeilim, v'loi biyad uma shfeilim, el biyad behemton shel uma shfeilim. What is he referring to? The Nebuch, she had to get now her support, her food from the behemoths, from the glolim of the umishvela, from the Arab camels, Nebuch from the glolim to be able to eat food. He didn't give tzedakah. What time you learned in the brisa? Omer lo amri gimim gorian. Kishal yoytzim beis the besmedish. When he left his home to go to besmedish, claim milas hoyimatzian tachtov. So he shouldn't have to go and walk on the ground, on the pavement, on the dirt or whatever. They would go and put underneath his feet beautiful silken garments, and he would continue walking. He didn't go and pick up the garments, he just left them there. Isn't that a great form of tzedakah? The reason why they did it is not so much because they cared about the aniyim. Aniyim's a guy. They did it because of COVID. He shouldn't just walk there on the pavement, on the dirt. He should go and walk on fancy silk garments. He gave tzedakah, but he didn't give the proper amount. Instead of going giving 10%, 20%, whatever it was, he gave 2%, 1%. He didn't give the proper amount. Like people have an expression from Gamla Shichna. What does that mean? If you look at the top Rashi, you go and put on the gomel the maximum that it can carry in terms of freight. You don't go and just put on mashu. So it comes to tzedakah the same thing. You have to go and give the full amount. So now, we could stop
over here,
we go to the two dots.
Of course.
Tanya, Omer Rabbi Rav Tzudek, Erebin Achoma, Emli Re'isia, She'ohisam, Laketa, So'irim, Ibein, Talfi, Susim, Be'akoi. I remember this same story about Nebuch, the daughter of Nachdiman ben Gurion, that she was an Akoi, that's in north of Eretz Yisrael, and she was collecting the So'irim from the Talfi Susim. The Talfi means the
hooves.
Not only the hooves, the horseshoes that are on the bottom of the susim, and therefore she would extricate from that, from those talfi susim, she got some soirim. Karasi alea mikrazin, I read out about her this passage. Emloi seydilach. It's a passage in Shirashirim. You have it in the right-hand margin. Emloi seydilach hayofa banashim. You were the most beautiful of women. Tzi'ilach be'ikvi atzoyim. Uri'i eskidi oisayach al mishkan ois haroyim. So how does the Gemara dash in it? Says Gemara, uri'i eskidi oisayach al tikri gidi oisayach, which would be a lashon of gidoyim, like the young Chad Gadya, Ela Gvio Yisayach, your bodies, your own guf. How are you supporting your own guf? Tzilach be'ikvi atzoy. You have to never look at the hooves and the soles and the heels of the tzoy. And from that, from the livestock, and from there, you had to go, you Yofa Manashim, you have to go and collect the food, the soyrim from that. We should hear Psura Sites. Have a good day, a good Shabbos, one and all.